Well, turn again, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6. And with the word of the Lord open before us, let us bow, please, in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come now to thy precious word, we pray that thou would bless thy truth, O God, to every heart, that thou would use thy word to make souls wise unto salvation, that thou would use thy word to draw thy people closer, Lord, to thee. Use thy word, O God, to glorify the Saviour. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. And be mouth, matter, and wisdom, and give all help, we pray, that's needed for this season. And to declare thy precious word and thy precious truth. For we ask it all in Jesus' great name. Amen. Our text for this evening is verses 18, 19, and 20 of Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6. Let me read those three verses with you again. It says, "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. When he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." Now, late hours, crowded rooms, splendid entertainments, mixed company, music, dancing, all these things may seem harmless to many people. But the child of God must never forget that to take part in these things is but to open a very wide gate to temptation and to sin. Therefore God says to his own people, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world." He says to his people, "Be not conformed to the world." Now, the dance hall or the disco is a place that every Christian should avoid and have nothing to do with. And the avoidance of such a sinful place of worldly entertainment is highlighted in particular through our Bible reading here this evening. If you look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse 21 and the verse number 22, you'll see there that those two verses tell of King Herod having a banquet to celebrate his birthday. Many guests, important guests, are present at this banquet. There was feasting. There was revelry. And no doubt there would have been drink there as well. And the Bible also tells us that there was dancing there. Look at verse 21 and verse 22. It says, "And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." At this particular time, King Herod was living in adultery with a woman by the name of Herodias. And the dancing of this woman's daughter at this birthday feast, it infatuated Herod so much that he agrees to this wicked girl's request. And what was that request? It was the head of John the Baptist, the faithful servant of God, in a charger. Look at verse 23 to verse 27. Says, "And he sware unto her," that's the daughter of Herodias, who had danced before him, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee, unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner, and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him.
in the prison. My people, that account surely serves as a warning to all God's people, be they old or be they young, to stay away from the dance hall, to stay away from the disco, for such places have been used time after time by the devil to ensnare people into awful depths of sin. God's word to his people is, abstain from all appearance of evil. Child of God, can I say this is God's word for you and I, as God's people, regarding the dance hall and regarding the disco. It's a place that every Christian should avoid, and avoid it like the plague. Now, as we would look tonight at these verses here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, I want us to consider in particular Herod the king, the man who was responsible here for the beheading of John the Baptist. Look at our text again, verse 18. It says, "For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard them gladly." And people tonight, King Herod is a warning to every sinner of their need to repent of their sin and get right with God and seek the Lord for salvation. As we would look at this man tonight, King Herod, in this light, there are four things I want you to note. If you're not saved tonight, oh, that as you would consider what the Bible has to say to you about this man, King Herod, I pray that God, by his Holy Spirit, will open the eyes of your understanding to see your need of Christ, and that you this night will repent of your sin before God and put your faith and trust in him for salvation. Notice, first of all, with me tonight, Herod's warning. Look at verse 18 of the chapter. It says, "For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Here, God in mercy, you see, sent John the Baptist to warn Herod. And what was the warning? He was to end the sinful and adulterous relationship with Herodias. Herodias was the wife of Herod's brother. Thus, God in mercy was calling Herod to repent of his sin. Indeed, as a result of John's faithfulness to God's word, indeed, his faithfulness to the very soul of Herod, we see from the chapter that this woman, Herodias, she took a great spite against the gospel preacher. And so much was her spite against him that she wanted to silence him. She wanted to have the preacher killed and put to death. Look at verse 19 of the chapter. It says, "Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him," that's against John, "and would have killed him." She wanted to silence the voice of the preacher. And how many are there not like that today? They want to silence the voice of the gospel preacher, the faithful messenger of God, the faithful servant of God who had warned sinners of their need of repentance and their need to get right with God. Yes, God in mercy, he sent John to warn Herod, to tell him of his great need for him to repent of all of his sin. Yes, speaking upon this very account in the Gospel of Luke, it says, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, her brother Philip's wife, and for all the evil which Herod had done." Oh, he was been called upon to repent of all of his sin before God. And likewise, dear friend, tonight, God in mercy, he says the same to you as you sit in this Gospel meeting. God, from his word, he called you to repent of your sin. What is the message of the Bible? The message of the Bible is this: God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Friend, this is God's message to you in this meeting. His word says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God calls you to turn from your sin as you sit in this meeting tonight. Indeed, it has rightly been said that Christianity, that it starts with repentance. And repentance means a confessing of your sin to God. and means a desire to be saved from the awful ruin of your sin. It means you turning by faith to Christ and trusting in his blood shed at Calvary to wash away your sin and to save your soul. Now it means, as we were singing earlier on, for you to trust in the perfect righteousness of Christ alone, for your acceptance before God, and for peace with God, your Maker. And this was the message that Peter preached to the people of his day when he spake to them of Christ and said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh, friend, as God in mercy warned Herod the king to repent, this man who sat upon the throne, the tetrarch, so, friend, as you sit in this gospel meeting tonight, God in mercy, he warns you. What does he warn you to do? He warns you to repent of your sin. Indeed, Christ himself says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What a warning Herod received from God to repent of his sin. What a merciful warning. And friend, it's a mercy from God to your soul tonight when God calls you to repentance and speaks to you from his word of your need to turn from your sin. Yes, we see Herod's warning here. But notice secondly tonight, notice Herod's concern. Look at verse number 20. Of our text tonight in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6. It says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. There you see the concern of this man, King Herod. What was his concern? It was such that he had a respect here for John. You see that very clearly and evidently from what the holy record says there in verse 20. My Herod knew that John the Baptist was a godly man. He knew that he was a faithful man, that he was a holy man. Indeed, he gladly heard him speak about the things of God. He had a concern, he had a respect for John the Baptist. In fact, the chapter tells us how Herod himself was very sorry for John. Whenever Herodias' daughter asked for him to be killed and to be beheaded, look at the beginning of verse 26, it says, and the king was exceedingly sorry. Yes, he had a concern here for John the Baptist. No doubt the words that he spake. And the Bible would also show us that Herod's concern went further. My, it went further in the very fact that when he heard of Christ and the miracles of Christ and the workings of Christ, that he wanted to see Christ for himself. He wanted to meet with the Son of God in person. You turn in your Bible over to Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 9, and you will see this for yourself, what the Bible has to say here about Herod. Just look with me very briefly there at the beginning of verse 7 and the end of verse 9 of Luke chapter 9, and it shows you this, that yes, he had a concern for the message of John the Baptist, but his concern went further. He wanted to hear of Christ and to see Christ and to meet with Christ. Look at Luke chapter 9 and the verse number 7. It says, now Herod the tetrarch heard of all that was done by him. He heard of all the works of Christ and what was going on concerning Christ's earthly ministry at that time. And then look at the end of verse number 9 of Luke chapter 9. It says, and he desired to see him. My, he wanted to meet face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a concern this man, King Herod, had. Friend, let me ask in this meeting tonight, is it the case that your concern tonight as you sit in this gospel meeting, is it the case that your concern is similar to that of this man, King Herod? As you sit in this meeting, yes, you have a respect for the faithful preaching of God's word. You have a desire in your heart even to hear God's word. Yes, you have an interest to learn about the Bible and indeed what the Bible has to say to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if that's your concern, let me commend you for that concern tonight. It's good to be concerned about the things of God when so many in our society today have no concern whatsoever about God or the things of God. But let me also warn you tonight, and we warn you in love to your soul, that that concern about the things of God is not enough to save you from your sins. It is not enough to fit you for God's heaven and for God's kingdom. You read the Bible, you read the Word of God, and you will see that the Bible is full of examples of people, yes, who were concerned. Concerned about the things of God, yet they were never saved. I could take you to many examples tonight, but I think of one tonight. A young man, we don't know his name. He simply described to us in the Word of God as the rich young ruler. He was a religious man. Young man, he was upright. In many ways, many things were good and commendable about his character. He was straight up and down. He was upright. He was moral. And such was the concern of his heart that he met with the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And he asked this question, "Sir, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What a question. What concern that young man showed. In fact, the Lord himself commended him. The Lord said this about him. He says, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." He was concerned. He was concerned about the matter of eternal life. He was not far from the kingdom of God. What a concern he had. But people, the Bible is clear. You never read of him being saved. He was concerned about eternal life. He was concerned enough to go and speak face to face with Christ. He was near to the kingdom of God. But the Bible never tells us that he got saved, that he got right with God, or that he repented of his sin. I was speaking to a man just the other day, and I can only describe him as a gentleman. A man in our conversation, as I spoke to him about the things of God, he had a great concern for the things of God. He had a great respect for the things of God. He even acknowledged the mercy of God in his own personal life and spurring him to this very day in which he lived. But you know, he knew nothing of God's so great salvation. Friend, tonight, please understand, to be saved from your sin, concern is not enough. Concern is not enough to save your soul. You must repent of your sins. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus had a concern, so much so that he went to see the Lord under the cover of darkness. He went out of the way to speak face to face with Christ the Savior. Jesus said to Nicodemus, with all of his religion and all of his concern and all of his uprightness, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again." Friend, I say the same to you tonight with your concern at this meeting. You must be born again. You must repent of your sin. And in repenting of your sin, you must call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. You see, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Tell me, are you willing to take that step tonight? That step of faith. And call upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save you. For the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, we see God's warning to Herod. We see the concern of King Herod. But notice thirdly tonight, notice Herod's rejection of Christ and the gospel. Herod's rejection of Christ and the gospel. In Psalm 119, the psalmist says, "I hate every false way." And there he was speaking about his hatred of sin. Well, Herod did not hate his sin enough to repent of it or to give it up. His rejection of the gospel, his rejection of Christ as Savior, is seen in the fact that he did not end this adulterous and sinful relationship with that woman Herodias at this particular time. It was also seen in the fact that he kept John in prison for the sake of Herodias. Look at verse 17 of the chapter. It says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." And my, his rejection of Christ and the gospel is also seen in the fact that he consented to the murder, to the beheading of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the real and the true friend of King Herod, for he warned him about his need to be saved and the need for his soul to be right with God. Yet John the Baptist, Herod gave the word for John the Baptist to be beheaded and to be put to death. Look at verse 23, "And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison." And there you see that John the Baptist was responsible for the beheading of John, beheading of God's servant John the Baptist. Also, his rejection here of Christ the Savior, the rejection of Christ by Herod, it is further seen in the fact that he had no peace in his heart. His life was void of peace. He was a man who had a troubled heart. He was a man who had a troubled conscience. How do we know that? Well, whenever he heard of the works of Christ, he was so troubled that he thought that this was John the Baptist risen again from the dead. For look at verse 14, where our Bible reading began tonight. It says, "And King Herod heard of him, that's the Lord Jesus, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. Therefore, mighty works to show forth themselves in him." When he heard of the works of Christ, he thought, this is John the Baptist come back again. You see, he had no rest, he had no peace in his conscience. His conscience was troubled by what he had done to John the Baptist in consenting him to be put to death. You see, the Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And King Herod, with all his pomp and all his royalty and all his pageantry, he still had no peace. Why? Because he was a non-repentant, Christ-rejecting sinner before Almighty God. He had no peace. Dear friend, tonight, let me ask, is this how it is with you in this gospel meeting tonight? Despite having often heard the gospel, you sadly are still unrepentant. You sadly are still without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As you sit in this meeting, sadly you're still a Christ rejecter as far as Christ and salvation is concerned. Well, friend, I warn you tonight, it is the greatest of all mistakes. It is the gravest of all follies for you to remain unrepentant in your sins, and for you to continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. It's the folly of follies. My, it's the mistake of all mistakes to do so. Such a pathway, dear friend, will reap a bitter harvest. A bitter harvest for your life. A bitter harvest for your soul. You see, the Bible says, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That speaks of a life without God, a life of unrepentance, a life that has rejected Christ as Savior. The Bible tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard way. It's a difficult way. It's a painful way. The Bible talks, yes, about the pleasures of sin. But the Bible says the pleasures of sin are only for a season. They're very, very short-lived.
They're just like a flicker of a candle. They're here one moment and they're gone.
Let me say this, you will find no hope for your life. You'll find no rest for your soul. You'll find no peace for your heart. You'll find no rest, no peace, no hope in a life lived in sin. You'll find no rest, no peace, no hope going on in a life without Christ as Savior, going on rejecting Christ as Savior. There's no hope, there's no peace, there's no real joy or satisfaction or contentment to be found. You turn in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 2 and the verse number 12. And here Paul, he speaks to us and he tells us about the Ephesian believers, what their life was like before they were saved. In other words, when they lived in sin, before they repented, before they trusted Christ, as they lived as Christ rejecters. Here he is describing their life in Ephesians 2 and the verse number 12. He says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in this world. And dear friend, in our meeting tonight, young person, older person, as you sit in this meeting unsaved, that's a description of you. That's how God sees you tonight. And as God speaks in love to your soul, he says, as you sit in this meeting unsaved, you are without Christ. You're an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, you're out of the kingdom, the family, the fold of God. As you sit in this meeting, God says, unsaved, you have no hope. No hope in sin. No hope in a life of Christ's rejection. You are without God. In essence, your life is godless before God Almighty. That's what the Word of God says. Friend, the Word of God is true. That's not my word, that's God's word. My speaking of such a life, the hymn writer said this. He said, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed, even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I will. And there they were speaking of the ravages of sin in their life, how sin mocked them. How there was no hope, no joy, no peace, no contentment in sin. Friend, understand this, that sin will take you farther than you will ever want to go. It will rob you of all true peace. It will rob you of all true hope. It will rob you of all true joy. There is no hope, there's no joy, there's no peace found in a life of sin. A life of unrepentance. A life of Christ's rejection. Don't be fooled. There's no hope in such a life. Yes, we see Herod's warning. We see his concern. We see his rejection of Christ in the gospel. But finally tonight, most solemnly, I want you to see Herod's condemnation, the condemnation of King Herod. For that, we must turn in our Bibles over to Luke's gospel, chapter 23. Turn over to the gospel of Luke and to the chapter number 23. And here you have the Lord Jesus Christ nearing the end of his earthly life, shortly before his crucifixion. And you find him on trial before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And if you look at verse number 7 there of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, it tells there of Pilate sending Christ to Herod during this trial. It says in verse 7 of Luke chapter 23, and as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him, that's Pontius Pilate, sent Christ to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at this time. You go down to the very next verse, verse number 8, there it tells of Herod, and you'll see that he was desirous to meet Christ. He was desirous to see Christ perform some miracle. He had heard this. He wanted to see Christ. He wanted to see Christ perform some mighty deed. Look at verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. This had been a desire for a long time. Because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. You go on to the very next verse, verse number 9. The beginning of that verse, it tells us of Herod questioning Christ. It says, then he questioned with him. In many words, but friends, I want you to notice the next statement regarding Christ. Before King Herod, right at the very end of verse 9 of Luke chapter 23, what does it say of Christ? It says, and he answered him nothing. Christ was silent before this man, King Herod. Christ had nothing now to say to this man, King Herod. Why? Do you notice here there was no pleading here with Christ now to King Herod? He was silent before him. Why? I'll tell you why. God had stopped speaking to Herod. That's why Christ was silent. You see, God's time for speaking to Herod was through the voice of John the Baptist, the preacher. But what had Herod done with God's voice at that time? He had silenced God's voice by putting John to the sword and having him beheaded. So God had now ceased to speak with this man, King Herod. You know, when Herod turned his back upon John the Baptist, his preacher, he was turning his back upon God for the last time. He was sealing his destiny to eternal ruin and to a lost eternity in hell. And God was to speak no more with him. Herod was left to his sin. Herod was left to his awful ruin. You see, it's a fearful thing for a man to trifle with God and with the faithful preaching of God's word. You go down now to verse number 11 of Luke chapter 23. And here you see the true nature of Herod coming out, this unrepentant, Christ-rejecting sinner. It says, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught, that's Christ, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. He mocked the lovely, sinless Son of God. He made little of the Son of God. Then if you look at verse number 12, you'll see something again very important here. He joins friends with Pilate. And before this, Herod and Pilate were enemies. But they now joined together. It says, on the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For they were at enmity between themselves. And what did they join together to do? The chapter tells us to give Christ up to crucifixion. To reject the Son of God. Herod was a man who was warned of God, but he went on unrepentant. He lived in his sin. He rejected Christ. He died in his sin. His soul went out into a lost eternity in hell, and when Christ returns, his body also will be cast into the lake of fire. You see, the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And the wrath of God is upon the head of King Herod for all of God's eternity. That was his condemnation of not repenting of his sin and rejecting Christ as Savior. And he came before Christ, and as Christ was before him, Christ was silent. Christ had nothing more to say to this man. I want you to think about that. I want you to think of what God says in Genesis 6 in the verse number 3. There he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That teaches us that God, yes, has his speaking time. There is a time when God speaks. God says God speaks once, twice, even three times, maybe more times. But that verse also means, my friend, if you do not heed the voice of God to repent of your sin and trust Christ as Savior, then God will speak no more. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He will leave you to the ruin of your sin. He will leave you to the condemnation of your sin. And you shall die in your sin.
and you shall be lost in hell forevermore. Dear friend, if God ceases to speak to you, you're finished as far as God is concerned. Preachers, yes, may speak to you. Evangelists may speak to you. But if God stops speaking, no matter who the preacher, the evangelist is, you're finished as far as God is concerned. You turn in your Bible, please, over to Romans chapter 1 and the verse number 28. And Paul warns us about this. Here he speaks of those whom God has given over to a reprobate mind. These were people who were unrepentant, in particular went on against the word of God and the teaching of God, went on in particular with the sin of sodomy. And look at Romans chapter 1 and the verse number 28. Look at what it says. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, in other words, they turned away from God's voice. Look at this, it says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, God gave them up to their sin. God left them to their sin. It's a fearful judgment of God upon the unrepentant sinner. That God leaves that person, or he leaves that people, to their sin. You see, the Bible says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Friend, do not turn away from the speaking voice of God. To do so is your peril. You turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 55 and the verses 6 and 7. Look at what the word of God says to you, my unsaved friend, in this meeting. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Then God says you're to seek the Lord. You're to confess your sins to him. You're to repent of your sins before God, and call upon him for mercy. Call upon him for salvation. The promise is that he, that's the Lord, will abundantly pardon. He'll pardon in mercy and in grace all your sins. He will save your soul through his precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. He will bring you into the family of God. He will fit you for heaven. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl unsaved, I urge you tonight to heed God's warning. Do not you for one moment follow the example of this man, King Herod, that we've been looking at tonight. Don't follow his example. But now tonight, if you're still unsaved, turn to Christ by faith. Trust in him alone for your salvation. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. The hymn writer says, there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. Unto him who was nailed on the tree. The Lord says, look unto me. Herod had his time of opportunity. When John the Baptist was before him, he sinned away that day of opportunity and that day of grace. And the time came when God spoke no more. Friend, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I don't know when God will stop speaking. But what if you should cross that deadline tonight and God should speak to you no more? It would be an awful thing to sit in gospel meetings, to reject the Lord, and to go out into a lost eternity without hope, without God, without peace, and without Christ. Oh, friend, do not follow the example of this man. Flee to Christ. Trust him. And accept him as your own and personal Savior. We're going to close our meeting today.